Coming up on BBP News, former President Trump has received a partial gag order from a judge in the D.C. District Court.
Gas prices are going down, but for how long? We will be taking a dive into all of that.
And finally, there is still no House Speaker. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of BBP News. We are back here on this Friday morning. It's October 20th, of course, the year of 2023, and we're here for another news episode. Chris, get us started off in the normal Friday morning fashion with the weather headed into this weekend.
In Los Angeles, California, it is clear, 89 degrees with a mostly clear weekend. In Houston, Texas, it is clear, 91 degrees with a clear weekend. In Chicago, Illinois, it is partly cloudy, 61 with a partly cloudy weekend. And in New York City, it is raining, 63 degrees with rain and wind throughout the weekend.
All right. So, Chris, before we even turned on the microphones here, before we even hit record, you said that you had some stuff to talk about here at the top. I have no idea what any of this is, but I just have to know, what do you have for us today?
Well, you know what, Nick? We have lots of news to discuss.
We do.
But I feel like the most important news in our life is food.
Okay. You know, I can never argue with a good conversation about food.
And last Friday we talked about most popular Halloween candies, if you recall.
Yep.
I have an update.
Oh?
I have how much people are spending on Halloween candy, percentage of people buying it, how much they're spending more than last year and all together, and the top 10 candies in New York, or not New York, in the country for Halloween.
All right. It seems like we've got a lot of good information here. Let's shoot right through this. What do you have?
So 96% of people who celebrate Halloween will be buying candy. And on average, they'll be spending $31.93 each, which is a 16% jump from last year. And overall, Halloween, $3.6 billion.
Wow. $3.6 billion on Halloween alone. Yeah. That's impressive.
Now, I do believe that's just the candy. I don't think that includes costumes.
Costumes and stuff like that, right? Well, I mean, based on where this seems to be going, yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Just the candy at that point.
And now the survey from candystore.com, looking at the trends of the purchases for Halloween, here are the top 10 in the country.
Okay.
Number one, consistent with the last one, Reese's Cups.
I'm in agreement with that. I still
Number
like that.
Number two, M&M's.
Okay, all right.
Number three, coming in hot from New York, hot tamales.
Oh, come on. We were doing so well.
Yeah.
First two were top notch.
Number four, Skittles.
Okay.
Number five, Sour Patch Kids. Number six, Starburst. Number seven, Hershey's Kisses. Mm-hmm. Eight, Candy Corn.
Okay.
Nine, Hershey's Mini Bars. 10, Snickers. Who the hell put Snickers above candy corn?
Well,
or below candy corn.
It's one of those things, right? Candy corn is so polarizing, you know, but there is a strong love for it in some people, and they'll buy a ton of it. I personally have not gotten any yet this Halloween season. Don't ask me why. I love this stuff. But
so you go trick or treating, come to my house, Nick, and I'll drop some candy corn in your pumpkin.
Sounds like a good plan. But if I'm going trick-or-treating, like back in the day, we talked about this last week, right? If we're going trick-or-treating, I want chocolate. You know, I want chocolate. I can even agree with the Starburst. Like, I feel like Starbursts are a pretty ubiquitous Halloween candy too. I've seen that for years. Like, you know, the little two Starbursts in the little mini wrapper.
Yeah,
there.
The little pack of them.
Yeah. You see those all the time. So okay, I can live with that one. The Skittles, still iffy on that. Hot tamales, please get out of my face with that. And the Sour Patch Kids, delicious candy, but not a Halloween staple. If I'm going trick-or-treating, I want the Hershey's mini bars and the Snickers over the candy corn. So in that respect, I would put those in that order. But if I'm just at home hanging out and I'm getting some candy just to enjoy on Halloween, I think I'm going with the candy corn. Like, obviously you need the chocolate. One thing I want to point out, okay? Two candies that got absolutely slighted in this top 10. Remove the Hot Tamales. Remove the Sour Patch Kids. Where in the world is the Twix and the Kit Kat?
I was going to say Twix and Milky Way.
Milky Way's a good call, too, but I feel like Kit Kat just has to be on there. I am upset that neither of them. I could even just settle for one. I could even just settle for Twix or Kit Kat or Milky Way, but none of them are there.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I got you enraged.
A little bit. I'm fired up now.
Yeah, and I have more food news to talk about.
Okay, all right.
So do you have more to say on this topic, or should I?
No, we can keep moving. Let's see what else I have, you know, see what else you have and how much it angers me.
Well, before I tell you, I have a question. Do you like Taco Bell?
I've only had it a couple times, I admit, but it has been good the times I've had it, so I'll say yes.
You know, I've had Taco Bell several times, and every time I'm just so unimpressed by it.
Oh, see, like, the two times I've had it, I've loved it, so I don't know.
Like, if there was a Burger King or a Taco Bell right next to each other and I had to pick one, I'm going to Burger King.
I'm taking the Taco Bell. I guess we're going to two different joints.
Well, you have fun over there. But I ask because Taco Bell is now testing an unusual menu item.
Okay.
Chicken nuggets.
Oh.
So at Taco Bell, the chain launched a test of crispy chicken nuggets at Minneapolis, featuring all white meat, whole muscle chicken marinated with a jalapeno spiced buttermilk and coated with a special breading designed to make them uniquely crispy. The nuggets will come in the option for two new sauces for dipping, a bell sauce made with tomatoes, red chilies, garlics, and onion, and a jalapeno honey mustard with a sweet, spicy, very mild kick.
Okay.
Super random. But at the same time, Taco Bell in Indianapolis is testing a menu item that seems more on brand. They're testing street chalupas. They're filled with shredded chicken or grilled steak, onion, jalapeno ranch sauce stuffed in a double chalupa shell with mozzarella and pepper jack cheese, which give it a cheesy, chewy bite. They come two in an order. Now, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
These chicken nuggets seem a little odd.
It's definitely
But the jalapeno spiced buttermilk and those sauces sound delicious.
That's what kind of intrigues me and would probably lead me to try them at least. At least get them once and maybe never again after that because it's just not a Taco Bell thing. But I'd definitely try it once with the jalapeno buttermilk and those chalupas. Or they sound mouthwatering.
Don't they? Like I said, I'm not a big fan of Taco Bell, but those both sound very good, and I would try them both.
I would absolutely give both a try. I'd probably be the dummy to go in and order both and just have a day. Just have a day of it. Have a good time, because, that sounds amazing. I'm on board. Go Taco Bell.
Yep. So, Nick, we'll fly into Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Try the chicken nuggets, then we'll get a rental car and drive to Indianapolis for the chalupas.
Yeah. No, I'm down for this plan. I fully support it. Do a little traveling.
Boy. So that is your food news with Chris this week. It seems like I've been
food. This is a good top of the show conversation, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be opposed to making this a staple. We have Thanksgiving. I know I'm pushing the gun a little bit, you know.
No, you're not.
Thanksgiving's still about a month away, but Thanksgiving's on the way.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is 5 weeks away.
Yeah, it's close.
Which means Christmas is only 10 weeks away.
Yeah. So we're going to be coming back with some Thanksgiving food talk, I'm sure, and then Christmas will follow soon after.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, as I see things come up with, like, the fast food, like Taco Bell, I might talk about it because, you know what, that stuff always can spark a good conversation.
Well, and as you could tell, it can get me fired up depending on which direction it goes.
And to be completely honest with you, I'm still thinking about those chicken nuggets, and I wish I could show everyone a picture of them because you can see little hints of jalapeno in the breading.
Oof. I'm on board. I'm still having my mouth water over these chalupas, so I don't know. Yep. I think we just need to jump into the show at this point, or else we're going to get way too hungry to continue.
So, former President Donald Trump is now dealing with another limited gag order, and obviously he's not happy about it. This one comes from Judge Tanya Chutkan in the federal election interference case being brought by special counsel Jack Smith. Now, before I tell you what former President Trump can't talk about, I'm going to tell you what the judge says he absolutely can talk about. He can talk about this case generally and all the ways he feels he's being unfairly prosecuted. He can talk about the judge, he can talk about the Justice Department, and he can talk about the Biden administration and all the ways the former president believes this is a political attack. But according to Judge Chutkan, the former president cannot attack special counsel Jack Smith, the special counsel, or his staff or family, nor can he attack court staff or witnesses.
Now, former Vice President Mike Pence is an interesting issue because Pence is a rival for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, but also is a witness in the special counsel's case against Trump. Because of this, the judge said that Trump can attack Pence on the campaign trail, but he cannot go after him for anything related to this case. That would include Pence's choice to go against Trump's wishes and certify President Biden's election victory on January 6th. Now, before the judge announced her decision, Trump's lawyers were arguing that as a presidential candidate, any kind of gag order would be a severe violation of Trump's First Amendment rights. The judge pushed back, saying that Mr. Trump's free speech rights do not permit him to, quote, launch a pretrial smear campaign against those people. Quote, no other defendant would be allowed to do so, and I'm not going to allow it in this case, end quote. Even Trump's attorneys agreed as a criminal defendant, he does not have an unlimited right to say whatever he wants about the case. But that didn't stop the Trump campaign from releasing this response right after the ruling was announced. It says, quote, today's decision is an absolute abomination, another partisan knife stuck in the heart of our democracy by crooked Joe Biden, who was granted the right to muzzle his political opponent, the leading candidate for the presidency in 2024 and the most popular political leader in America, President Donald J. Trump. President Trump will continue to fight for our Constitution, the American people's right to support him, and to keep our country free of the chains of weaponized and targeted law enforcement, end quote. Judge Chutkan did not say how she would enforce her gag order. She merely said that she would assess any consequences for Trump if or when he violates her order. Trump's attorney said that he will appeal this ruling.
On Tuesday, former President Donald Trump returned to the civil fraud trial that is paralyzing his real estate empire, watching and deploring the case as an employee and an outside appraiser testified that his company essentially put a thumb on the scale when sizing up his property values, increased by a case that disputes his net worth and could strip him of such signatures holdings as Trump Tower. The former president is due to testify later in the trial. He chose to attend the first 3 days of the trial, then disappeared and came back Tuesday to observe and to protest his treatment to the news cameras waiting outside the Manhattan courtroom.
Star witness Michael Cohen, a one-time Trump fixer, now turned foe, postponed his scheduled testimony because of a health problem. Instead, Trump company accountant Donna Kidder testified that she was told to make some assumptions favorable to the firm on internal financial spreadsheets. Outside appraiser Doug Larson said he didn't suggest or condone a former Trump organization controller's methods of valuing properties.
Let's talk about gas prices in the U.S. Believe it or not, they're down, but I'm about to talk to you about some of the big factors that may play into these prices, possibly going up in the coming days and weeks, including what's happening between Israel and Hamas. Now, this is a warning. You're going to want to pull up a chair and have a seat because this is a deep dive. Let's first look at the simple gas price numbers. The national average for a gallon of regular gas in this country as of Tuesday was $3.63. The fact is, overall, that's down. It's down from the day before, it's down from a week ago, and it's down from a month ago, and it's even down from a year ago to the day. As we have explained before, just because $3.63 is the national average for a gallon of regular doesn't mean that's the price at your local gas station. An average is a mathematical equation for every gas price at every gas station in the country. The price you're paying depends on where you live. You can see the people in the South and the Plains are actually paying much less than $3.63, and the people in the West are paying much more. Especially in California, for example, where people are paying an average of $5.67 for a gallon of regular. So now that we have that clear, let's talk about some of the big factors that are playing into gas and oil prices. You have to understand some of these factors are real and other factors are perceived. It's also important to understand when oil prices go up, sometimes there's a bit of a lag before gas prices go up. And on the flip side, once gas prices are up and oil prices go down, it usually takes much longer for gas prices to go down. I don't make the rules. Nick doesn't make the rules. We know it's not fair. That's just the way the market works. Okay, so now let's talk about some of these perceived factors that could be playing into your gas prices in the near future. One of the big ones is what is happening right now between Israel and Hamas. The fact is, as of Tuesday, the price of a barrel of oil increased more than 4%, more than $85 a barrel. Experts say the main reason for that increase is that the perceived concern that the war could spill over into wider oil-rich areas in the Middle East. The fact is, Israel and Palestine are not major oil producers countries, but there is a perception that the war could spill over into nearby Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, which are major oil-producing countries. And if their productions are disrupted for any reason, that would disrupt the global oil supply. And as we always say, just because oil is a global commodity, disruptions in one part of the world affects prices all over the world. But that war spillover is hypothetical. That's not happening right now. The war is contained, yet oil investors are a chumpy group, for a lack of better terms. And just the perceived threat is enough to drive up oil prices.
Now, another perceived fear that has not yet become a reality is the fear that the United States would further sanction Iran for its complicity and support of Hamas by cracking down on Iran's oil exports. And if that happens, we could see a major disruption to the global oil supply. And again, that makes oil investors jumpy. Now, let's talk about the real factors that are impacting oil prices and then trickling down to your gas prices. First, as we reported at the beginning of this, gas prices have been going down in the United States. That is for several reasons, but mostly because of the time of year. We typically see gas prices go down every year around this time because the summer driving season is over. Demand for gasoline starts to go down and states switch over to the winter blend of gas, which is less expensive. But one of the real factors that's actually preventing gas prices from dropping even more are the decisions of OPEC Plus. OPEC Plus, which is the cartel of oil-producing countries of which the United States is not a member, has significantly cut oil production since last year. We're talking more than 1 million barrels of oil per day have been removed from the supply line. Why? Because those countries want to make more money. When there's less supply, they get more money for less oil. And just a few weeks ago, OPEC Plus decided not to increase oil production, but instead to keep these significant cuts in place for at least the rest of 2023, something that we've been reporting throughout the year as a possibility. Another real factor is Russia. Russia is a very powerful member of OPEC Plus, and with the US and our allies sanctioning their oil exports because of the war with Ukraine, that is absolutely disrupting the global oil supply. And that leads me to the United States. Now, before you start commenting things like drill, baby, drill, or we should pump more oil in our country, you should know the facts real quick here. We are actually pumping a lot of oil right now. In fact, we just hit a 40-year record high for the amount of crude oil produced in this country. For the week ending on October 6th, the United States produced 13,200,000 barrels of oil per day. And let me say this again, 13,200,000 barrels of oil per day. That is more oil being produced in the United States than at any other point in the last 40 years. The second highest production was the week of March 13th of 2020, when we produced 13.1 million barrels a day. The issue is, yeah, we're pumping a lot of this crude oil right now, but we can't put crude oil into our gas tanks. It's not how it works. It has to be refined. And according to the latest report for the same week ending on October 6th, the capacity of our refineries in this country to turn that crude into gasoline was only at about 86%. And it's always important to remember with gas prices, there's never an easy answer. It's complicated. And anyone who tells you that there's one solution or one person at fault or one reason why gas prices are going up or going down really just doesn't know the situation at all.
More U.S. troops have been surged to assist in the conflict between Israel and Hamas, and more could be deployed. I told you last week that the president sent USS Gerald Ford aircraft carrier strike group along with a fighter jet to the eastern Mediterranean Sea, not to put boots on the ground, but to deter, to prevent other countries or groups from getting involved in the war. Well, over the weekend, the defense secretary said the president also ordered the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower carrier strike group to move into the same region. The Pentagon said the U.S. military is also being used to provide planning and intelligence support to recover the hostages being held in Hamas. And, quote, a small number of personnel is being used to augment the embassy staff, end quote, as they work to receive the Americans being held.
The Pentagon would not confirm whether a Special Marine Rapid Response Force was being deployed to the region, but several news outlets are reporting that they will be moved over from their current deployed location near Kuwait. That force consists of 2,000 Marines and sailors who specialize in amphibious operations, crisis response, humanitarian assistance, and special ops. The defense secretary has also reportedly ordered about 2,000 additional troops to prepare for potential deployment to help with medical and logistical support. The order, which has also not been confirmed by the Pentagon, does not mean that the troops will definitely deploy or that they will serve in any sort of combat role, and it's possible they would deploy somewhere other than Israel.
Hundreds of people were reported killed by a strike at the hospital in Gaza City Tuesday, where thousands of civilians had been sheltering. The Gaza Health Authority said the blast had been caused by an Israel airstrike that Israel Defense Forces said it was caused by a rocket fired by a Palestinian armed group that malfunctioned after launching. The reported scale of the attack heightened fears that the Gaza war will soon expand to other fronts, including southern Lebanon. An Iran-backed militia has already been exchanging fire with Israel in recent days. Strike on the hospital came a day after Iran warned that other multiple fronts were open if Israel attacks continued to kill civilians in Gaza. After a 2-hour review, the Israel military said that the blast was caused by a rocket fired by a Palestinian Islamic group, an armed group in Gaza that participated in the terrorist attack on Israel on October 7th that killed 1,400 people.
Hamas leaders and leaders of the Palestinian Authority said Israel is responsible for this. And in the past, rockets fired by Palestinian armed groups, including Islamic Jihad, have occasionally malfunctioned and hit civilian neighborhoods. There is no definitive evidence of who exactly is responsible. The disaster at the hospital will now overshadow President Biden's visit. The White House confirmed that while President Biden is en route to Israel, he spoke with Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Jordan's King Abdullah II, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Today, I'm also announcing $100 million in new U.S. funding for humanitarian assistance in both Gaza and the West Bank. This money will support more than 1 million displaced and conflict-affected Palestinians, including emergency needs in Gaza.
President Biden made that announcement of $100 million in humanitarian aid on Wednesday during his quick trip to Israel.
He secured the deal with the Israeli Prime Minister and his war cabinet to start flowing humanitarian aid into Gaza and the West Bank. He said the U.S. has been coordinating that aid to cross through the Palestinian border with Egypt. Israel would not agree to allow that aid to flow into Gaza from their border. It's unclear when the aid will start flowing, but what is clear, the president said, is that if Hamas steals that aid meant for the Palestinian people, it will prove that Hamas does not care about the Palestinians and the aid will stop flowing. Speaking of humanitarian aid, though, it's also worth noting a separate meeting to talk about that aid between President Biden and the presidents of Egypt and the Palestinian Authority, as well as the King of Jordan, some of America's closest Arab allies, was supposed to happen on Wednesday, but the meeting was canceled by the Arab leaders in the wake of the horrific attack on the Palestinian hospital that killed hundreds. This is the strike that Jordan is calling a war crime and something that President Biden also condemned.
The United States unequivocally stands for the protection of civilian life during conflict, and I grieve, I truly grieve for the families who were killed or wounded by this tragedy.
Much of the president's speech was directed at the Israeli people and their government. He said the massacre that killed about 1,400 Israelis on October 7th, carried out by Hamas terrorists, was pure evil.
Hamas committed atrocities that recall the worst ravages of ISIS, unleashing pure, unadulterated evil upon the world. There's no rationalizing it, no excusing it, period.
He said Americans who suffered through September 11th can understand the rage of the Israeli people and the Israeli government, but he cautioned them to not let that rage take over.
Justice must be done, but I caution this: while you feel that rage, don't be consumed by it. After 9/11, we were enraged in the United States. While we sought justice and got justice, we also made mistakes.
But that's not all. During Wednesday's 16-minute speech, President Biden also said that by the end of the week, he is going to ask Congress for an unprecedented support package of $100 billion for Israeli defense and Ukraine. The president said America will always be by the side of Israel. But before he left the region, President Biden also urged Israel and Palestine to find a way to live together.
Representative Jim Jordan just lost the first ballot vote for Speaker of the House. The final vote was 212 votes for Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat leader of the House, and Jim Jordan 200 votes. Yes, that's correct. The Democrat won more votes than the Republican when there is a Republican majority. All the remaining Republican votes went to someone other than Jim
Jordan. So now what? Well, the Republicans are back in conference trying to figure out what to do next. Should Jordan go for another round of votes on the floor? Should the Republicans find a more moderate candidate for Speaker? Or should both parties, Democrats and Republicans, agree to give the Speaker pro temp Patrick McHenry more powers temporarily to at least get the House working again? We are 2 weeks without a House Speaker now, and we are now less than a month away from a government shutdown and Israel and Ukraine aid on the line.
And actually, another update to the House Speaker vote situation. Jim Jordan lost again, this time on Wednesday in the second round of voting on the House floor. The final vote for Jordan was 199, and the final vote for Hakeem Jeffries was 212. Representative Jordan lost even more Republicans than he lost on Tuesday. On Tuesday, 20 of his own members voted against him, with 22 voting against him on Wednesday. And because of all of this, because of the two failed votes, it is possible that instead of another round of speaker votes, we're going to see a motion filed to expand the powers of the speaker pro temp, Patrick McHenry, at least for now.
Let's see how this goes, Converse. Welcome. That is the first Truth Social post from President Biden's 2024 presidential campaign. Yes, you heard that correctly. President Biden's campaign just joined former President Trump's social media platform. The verified account handle is Biden HQ in the avatar Dark Brandon image. In the first 2 hours that the account was up, the account has been posting clips of Republicans like Governor Ron DeSantis, former Governor Nikki Haley, Representative Matt Gaetz, calling out Trump for various reasons. They even included a clip from a Fox News post saying this about Biden's recent speech on the Hamas war.
Not an expert in that. I will say that I thought it was a strong speech.
The bio says, quote, "Just the Facts Check, a project of Biden-Harris 2024. The one person the account is following, former President Donald Trump. The Biden campaign said that they are, quote, injecting our message into the GOP primary coverage and plan to combat dis and misinformation about President Biden that may appear on Truth Social. The account is brand new. The comment sections on the posts are exactly what you'd imagine they'd be, but the Biden HQ account has not responded to any of those comments yet. But regardless, it is certainly an interesting political move, to say the least." But now we get into good news for today. And for this story, it's honestly such a unique story. And it all surrounds painting and food. Now, I'm no artist. You know, I like music. That's my form of art. I can't understand actual art, you know, paintings and stuff like that, just because, well, I can't see them. But even this blew my mind, right? Like, even the beauty of this, the unique quality of this, blew me away, because Nathan Wyburn, a painter in the UK, has decided to make 4 different paintings of different UK regions, different skylines and different areas out of food. Yes, he literally created these pieces out of food. It's absolutely insane what he was able to do. Now, he had a little help from a chef named Ollie Pumphrey, and together they used so many different ingredients, mainly using different types of vegetables and fruits and a couple other things mixed in there. You know, they had broccoli, they had kale, they had butter, they had cheese. Like, they used so many different ingredients in order to make these different sculptures, or I guess paintings is what they're calling them. Strawberries were involved, blueberries, raspberries. Like, they included so many different little pieces to this. And it wasn't just a waste of food either. You know how they say it looks good enough to eat? Well, that's because this was, because all of the ingredients that were used for this, Pumphrey turned into meals for people who struggled to have enough food all across the UK, and it ended up helping bring meals to 143 different families across the country. And so this was just an amazing project. Not only was it an opportunity to make some very unique yet beautiful art, but it also brought food to those that don't have enough. So this was just a really unique story, a really cool story through and through, and I love it. But that is the end of this Friday morning episode, you guys. We'll be back here on Sunday morning for an episode of What to Expect This Week. That'll be the week of October 22nd, so don't miss out on that. But until then, you guys have a great start to your weekend, and we will see you later. Bye.